Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, we're going to grapple with the emerging legacy of Cam
that's
Thomas.
Right. That's what it
the
is.
Next great Brooklyn Net. Welcome back to The Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuysNetsDaily.com. The Athletic. Get yourself behind that paywall at TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys. Brian.
Michael.
The Summer Nets are back.
They're back. We're fired up today. We're pissed off, frankly.
We're angered. And we're also happy.
We are happy. We're enthused and angry. I just want to get right into it. I don't want to bury the lead on this at all.
Don't bury leads.
People have been coming at us on Twitter and in the YouTube comments section. Shout out to the YouTube comments section. We're on YouTube now, so this is a thing. Smash the follow, smash the subscribe. Don't want to bury the lead.
Yes.
People did not understand what we did there with talking about Cam Thomas last show. They really it was an R whoosh. You're going in the Reddit subreddit. It went over your head. The point is, we started talking about, we didn't acknowledge, it's sort of our fault too. We didn't acknowledge that we already thought Cam Thomas was a very good scorer. That was a precondition that we didn't do a good job of highlighting. Obviously, that seems to be the case, right? You know, similarly, every bit, but it appears to be at a glance, he is a good scorer. And then what we did was we talked about, okay, what do you do with that information as a 19-year-old rookie on an elite championship contending team? We didn't highlight the precondition. We went right past that into, okay, so now what? And people thought that was us dragging Cam, and it's so not, and it's so, I just, to be honest, I'm disappointed, guys. I'm disappointed in you. You know, that's where I go with it. You know, it's not that I'm angry. I'm disappointed. So, you know, be better. Just be better.
I'm going to go a little softer. All right. Okay. I'm going to apologize, but also stand my ground.
Good.
Okay. I apologize. I don't think we didn't frame our Cam Thomas discussion well enough. We didn't.
We didn't.
Because our heads, we, Brian and I share the same brain. Most people don't know
that.
A
little bit.
And, it was in the jar for that episode. It wasn't even in one of our heads at that moment. And we did. We just like skipped through like, hey, we should maybe also appreciate the fact that Cam Thomas is like a legendary summer league scorer, which is also part of the perspective. And he's 19 years old and he's fantastic and amazing. We did really like hone in on there's like other stuff that I think he needs to do and expand upon his game. And all that stuff. And we're going to talk about all that in today's episode. So that comes back to standing my ground. His ability to score, his ability to score in big moments too, which is like the most impressive thing about him, is that he's doing this in the fourth quarter at the end of games we're like, he had 14 points against the Spurs in the fourth quarter. He obviously won the game against, who was it, the Wizards, where he had the game winner in double overtime. Sudden death overtime. Love it. All basketball games should be sudden death.
Yeah.
That was one bucket good. And we're over. How great would that be?
Really good.
But yeah, so here they teach you this if you're doing arguments, right? You should start with your thesis. So our thesis is Cam Thomas, very good scorer, likely to continue to be a very good scorer outside of summer league, actually in the NBA. Our thing that we're grappling with is what else is going to happen? How is he going to fit on a team that has Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant? We're going to talk about that, but let's first really dive into Cam Thomas' summer league, because Brian, you've got some juicy stats.
I don't have
to unveil them now, but
I
want to tease people with numbers. Like, teased with numbers.
I really wish they were juicier, because I've gone down a bit of a K-hole, rabbit K-hole. I'm doing K. And looking at these real GM stats.
Is that ketamine?
It is. It is Special K. They stopped calling it Special K as often. Branding, not cereal stuff. And I have been really trying to deduce how reliable summer league play generally is in terms of trick, because basically everyone is on either side of, like, anytime you tweet anything about the summer league, there's two camps of like, lol, it's summer league, or like, you know, don't sleep on Cam, you know, most polarizing.
Yeah. So ESPN tweeted out a graphic of like the top four picks, and it was like top four picks balling out in summer league.
Yeah.
Okay. Or top five picks. And they were all doing like, well, everyone is double digits. Jalen Green's around 20 points per game. Like, yeah, everyone's doing well. And I did the Nets fan thing where on our own Twitter, I just retweeted and commented and said, yeah, but Cam Thomas is doing better than all of them. And half the comments were like, dude, it's summer league. And then the other half was like, Cam Thomas is God.
Yeah.
And I
literally a 50%. It was right down the line. That was exactly what it was, which is why I'm trying to develop some kind of sense for what is right. And go ahead.
Again, this is already feeling like we're heading down like a negative space. I'm going to be celebrating Cam Thomas.
I actually think that this is not going to be negative when it comes out of it. So I've been trying to deduce, you know, what can we take from somewhere. Like, I'll say this, scoring by a wide margin is the most translatable stat from summer league to NBA level. There's very few players who led in any other category that's had a meaningful NBA career, but 4 points. There's another like interesting thing about the point situation. So just from real GM historical averages in summer league points per game. Number one is a guy named Marcus Banks, who probably
we all know Marcus Banks.
Okay,
we all know Marcus Banks.
So Marcus Banks, who had 42 points per game on just a tidy 80% from the 3-point line over the course of summer league.
It was one game. He played one summer league game.
Right.
Because I looked this up. I was like, how did he only play one summer league game and then he scored 42 points and then stopped playing basketball?
Right.
It's because he hurt his shoulder. But if you go, I tweeted this link out too. There's just a ridiculously stupid highlight package of that one game. The footage is grainy. It's grainy footage. And there's some kid just yelling over it. And it's in an empty arena because I don't even know if they had fans at this point in summer league.
Right. So that one, we'll call that one an outlier potentially. We may just want to asterisk that one. Next up is Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, some names you may have heard of. Then Cam Thomas, a guy you might know. And then Tyrese Maxey, who was picked this year with the Sixers. Who knows, whatever. Like,
what he's going to be. But he's a valued – like, it was rumored that the Sixers in the James Harden for Ben Simmons trade, that Houston asked for Maxey, and the Sixers were like, we are not giving up James Maxey. Or Tyrese Maxey.
Tyrese Maxey. And then some other names right after that, Lou Williams, Kawhi Leonard, Seth Curry, and then it kind of falls off from there. But like in terms of the
– it really falls off.
Yeah. In terms of like selecting for actual scorers at the top of this thing, there's a pretty strong trend here. I'm just going to – like I don't want to go crazy with this, but like of anything that you can point to suggest that there's some evidence that there's translatable thing, it is points per game – in the summer, like at the very top end of that spreadsheet. So I'm on the side of, like, you know, there is a decent amount of evidence to suggest that this is going to be a translatable skill. Also, again, like we talked about last week, the eye test. It's a very strong eye test. You know, I went back and watched some, like, other outliers, Glenn Robinson Jr., people like that who had big summer leagues who then, like, sort of went away. I went back and watched those clips, and, like, they look kind of gross. Like, they, you know, those are big games that were, you know, from players who are kind of unskilled, who are doing most of their work at the 3-point line. Cam has a very deft and mature looking step back three that is it alone passes the eye test. Like, that thing is
the one against the Spurs to put it up to 98-94 that basically won the Nets, sealed the victory for the Nets, if we can talk about victories in summer league.
I think we can.
It was legit. Like, so we've talked about this, and Cam has talked about this. Kobe is Cam Thomas's, like, hero, and Kobe's footwork was, like, amazing. And Cam's footwork on that shot was bonkers. It was like jab step in, quick jab out, and jump for jump backwards for the three. And it was, like, flawless.
Yeah.
And that is something that he will be able to do in the pros. At any level, is he's going to have that in his bag.
A fun exercise, just as an aside, is to go through the historical NBA Summer League leaders. If you ever had a doubt that per 36 is a jank stat, I do strongly encourage everyone to go check out the per 36 numbers for historical NBA and see if you can name some names. I mean, Derrick Jones is on there. But other than that, like, leading is Hank Thorns. Then Johnny Flynn, you're Johnny Flynn, like, from your guy, Moses That's Brown, you know, Marcus Banks still holding, Pavel Milos, you know, anyways, it's a janky stat. Never use per 36, people. Don't do it. Don't
fall into the trap. So let's dive you. So I would, again, anyone can go, you can go on Real GM to look up these numbers. When you look at, like, just compare not only even points per game with Cam Thomas, but look up the efficiency stuff. So field goal percentage, 3-point percentage. The amount of times these guys are getting to the free throw line.
Yes.
Like, he's in line with all of them. The thing that he doesn't do that some of these guys are doing a little bit higher degree, but not even, is assist per game. And that's just like, I mean, Brian and I, we've talked about this. Even though Cam Thomas can pass, it's just not he's not like that motivated to do so.
Yeah.
Which is going to go back to what role he has on this team. But yeah. So the list, as you said, Marcus Banks, number one. Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, Cam Thomas, Tyrese Maxey, Lou Williams, Kawhi Leonard, Seth Curry. Then the cliff falls off. And this is where it's like, okay, so how much stock do we really put in this? Because it's Jordan McRae, who had multiple cups of coffee in multiple cities and has never had an espresso in any of those cities. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Josh Selby, big Josh Selby fan. Von Wafer, big Von Wafer fan. Chris Dunn, who has never been able to score in the NBA but scored pretty nicely in two games in the summer league. Desmond Bane, who's currently doing on his scoring streak right now. Kevin McClain, who I thought was the guy from Die Hard, and Jared Bayless. Jared Bayless was a Net, right? He was part of the like guys that the Nets were desperately trying to rehab into something at some point early Sean Marks era. Yeah, I think Jared Bayless.
Oh gosh, yeah. Let's see. Yeah, but that's right.
But so it's like, if the next Cam Thomas game, let's say he only scores 17 points, his average probably drops into the McRae Selby wafer tier. Then we're not going to be throwing around the stat too much. But right now, he's in the Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard tier, and Donovan Mitchell tier, and we can feel pretty good about that. He's played incredible, and he's been exciting. And he's been the MVP. I mean, how could he not be the MVP of the Summer League right now? I don't know. Do they give out that award? Is that
they
an
do.
Award given?
They do. That's one that was actually shared. Here's a fun stat for you. In 2012, between Josh Selby and Damian Lillard. So,
Selby, I think he went to Kansas, and he was like a highly ranked recruit.
He was big.
Bro.
He was a big guy.
And Damian Lillard obviously was not
right
coming out of where Morehead State or wherever he went.
I also think, just in looking at this list, like, there is a, you know, putting on the qualitative analysis cap here, that there's like a some level of interest in, like, those are all Donovan Mitchell through Seth Curry. Those are alpha chads. Those are guys who want to go out there and call their own number. And I think that that's, like, in and of itself, there's a sort of self-selection process that leads, you know, hyper scorers into those positions. Like in summer league, they're like, I'm the kind of guy at 19 year olds, where I'm branding myself a scorer from day one, and give me the ball because I'm going to put it in the hoop. There's like a, I don't know. There's a kind of like an interesting self-selection process for that. Cause like after, you know, a while, a lot of these guys, you know, these are not gunners. These aren't killers down this list, but at the very top, there's a lot of that. So, I don't know. I don't know what that's an argument that I'm workshopping, but there's something there. I feel like,
the thing that's been kind of crazy about Cam Thomas, I mean, I know there's like 10 fouls per game for a player, mm-hmm. but he gets to line at an elite level. Now I can be like skeptical old man and be like, rookies aren't going to get those calls in yep. the regular season, which I don't think they will. And I there's an element to his game where like he is super crafty and he gets to the bucket, like where some guys drive down the lane and they don't quite even get to the rim and they still try to get fouled and they don't. Where Cam Thomas is getting like around the he had an amazing drive to the basket where he was on like the left side of the lane coming in, and he made like a jump step right around the hoop where he should have been taking the layup on the left side of the bucket, and got all the way to the right side and scored a layup over, I think it was Joe Wieskamp of the Spurs, or you know, however you say his name. And he does those little extra things that shows that he has the little burst of athleticism that you're going to need. I mean, how could you not be excited? This, we all should be. This is great.
And you know,
this
is fantastic. You know what's going to suck is that like the people now, the YouTube comments are going to be like, you guys are you're drunk on the Kool-Aid, boys. that's what's going to happen. So there's just no way to win. But you know, trying to be thoughtful about this, about Summer League, is tough. Trying to talk about it at all without getting roasted in the comments is
it's lame. Why it's important to watch Summer League, because you can realize that the game is pretty messed up.
Yeah.
It's a pretty disorganized game. Can we talk about we're going to get back on Cam Thomas for a sec, but like Reggie Perry, is that done? Is he done in Brooklyn?
That's a
strange move.
I've not seen that ever, like a mid Summer League GTFO. I've not seen that before.
I wonder if his agent, I mean, I don't know why an agent would say, I mean, it says he's still in net for now. They've rescinded the qualifying offer. That doesn't mean that he's gone. With Friday's deadline, this is reading directly from the New York Post, but Perry is still with the Nets and he's still practicing with the team. You know, like, we don't know what's going to happen with Reggie Perry. The buzz out of camp last year was that like Reggie Perry was like this exciting weapon that they thought they were going to be able to use all year long. And he just, obviously he played like okay in moments, but he didn't do that well during the year. There's a reason why he didn't play a bunch. You know, they could have used someone like him, at least his talent level. But like you're saying, I guess it must have just been like a weird NBA scheduling thing that they had to rescind the offer or keep the offer for some reason in there. He doesn't seem like a bad enough guy to just be like, hey, Reggie, please leave Summer League. Please leave Las Vegas, unless there's something totally awful happened in Las Vegas that we don't know about. But
I mean, it's Vegas, baby, you know?
So Cam Thomas, elite bucket getter, gets to the free throw line. I mean, he's averaging about 10 free throw attempts a game, shooting 85%. And the whole sort of Cam Thomas experience, it's like there's a lot of like bad mid-range shots, but he has incredible step back three ability. I would like to see him take a set 3-point shot. Like, I don't even know if he I don't know. Do you think he even practices just receiving a pass and shooting from three? Like, I feel like he has to do something else in his game to get open, to get a 3-point shot off. Cause he probably, his whole career, he's never just been like wide open from three in high school and in college. He always would be the guy with the ball. I would like to just see that. I like that little element, but getting to the line at this level and being sort of that fearless to get to the basket, knowing that you're an amazing free throw shooter, is, I mean, that's a translatable skill.
He's got a really nice and slow and deceptive little shot fake. That's like all those mid-rangers are coming after the effect of like taking that or like doing a pump fake on that stationary three-point shot that he, to your point, doesn't want to take at all. But it's a really slow first step that's just like kind of like it's we used to say this about D'Angelo Russell, which was like timing beats speed kind of thing. Because like Cam Thomas is he's like fast enough, but I think he's much more of a like catch you slightly out of position scorer. And we were talking about this last week too. He's way thicker than you realize. Like at first glance, he's got a nice body on him, Mike. If you don't mind me saying.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the role Cam Thomas may actually have on the team this year. You know, when he's actually playing with Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden.
I want to hear what you think of De'Ron Sharpe being on this team too.
I do. We'll do that too. But before we go to break, regardless of like how it shakes out this year, and you know, definitive statements off of Summer League when it involves 19-year-olds and Brandon Knight and everyone in between, it seems clear that if the Nets can develop Cam Thomas enough, that there's so much there to work with.
Yeah.
Like that, the fact that he already has all this ability and that he isn't like, you know, there are like, I'm thinking of people like Jimmer Fredette. Like there's those college all-stars who can get buckets in college, but like once they get to the pros, it's like done for them. Cam Thomas is like totally different.
Yeah.
He actually has like athletic ability.
Old Jimmer.
Old Jimmer, like they, that class of college athlete can't do that in the pros. I have kind of, they're totally different players, but when we come back from break, I'll have a comp that I think could work out for Cam Thomas in terms of the role that this person played on this team and how Cam Thomas may play for the Nets.
Good. Great.
And we're back. Cam Thomas's role. So I think this is the biggest question. So we could talk about how great Cam Thomas is all we want, right? He's the Summer League MVP. He's an historical scorer from a Summer League perspective, disregarding Marcus Banks' 42-point performance.
The disrespect, my gosh. Yeah.
No, but what matters is the Nets are trying to win an NBA championship, right? That's the goal. So what can Cam Thomas do for this team now? Whatever he's going to be in 5 years, we got to know what he can do for this team now. So I've broken the possible role he could be in into four tiers.
Mm.
And we're going to try to slot him in. And maybe it's a spectrum and not, you know, an exact designation. But here's the four tiers that I have. And Brian, if you have any other sort of wiggle room, there's no rigidity here. G League All-Star. So that's basically like he just lives with the Long Island Nets. He really soaks in Nassau and Suffolk County. He scores 25 points a game in the G League, but rarely ever plays. And we all get excited about his G League stats, but he just doesn't play for the team.
You had to start there. Now people are going to think we're dogging.
That's the bottom tier. I'm going through the tiers.
I get it.
That's the bottom. He is the 2021-2022 version of Chris Chioza, which is a guy who is in Long Island, but then plays for Brooklyn sometimes. There's going to be the occasional like, hey, in two games, he gets 8 minutes in both of those games, but then we don't really see him for a month. Mm-hmm. The Chris Chioza. The next tier up, and this is a pretty big gap between the two tiers, is the second unit two guard. So it's like Landry Shamet, where, yeah, maybe he'll play a little bit with the starters at times, but really he's running with the second unit, playing alongside James Harden or Kyrie, who's ever running the team at that point. You know, gets maybe seven shots a game as a bench unit, which would be a lot, but he's also his minutes sometimes dip, but he's running along with them. And then the final tier, this is really the ceiling, I think, for him, is that like he becomes like the Kyrie Harden load management fill-in. Wow. So he becomes the guy who, not necessarily like he's going to start if Kyrie or Harden are out, but they're going to rely on him for that kind of production. So he's either like the guy leading the bench at that point, or he is actually starting or playing next to Harden and KD if Kyrie's out, or if Harden's out, Kyrie and KD, he's playing with them, not necessarily starting minutes, but getting a significant run. So of all those tiers, I know I threw a lot at you, Brian. But
no, I got them. I wrote it down.
What feels the truest?
Can I add a wedge tier?
Wedge tier, sure.
So in between 2021 Chris Chioza and and the second unit two guard Landry Shamet, can I insert a wedge of 2021 Tyler Johnson? Because that's where
that's a good wedge.
A little
good
bit
salami.
Of
salami, good piece of salami in that sandwich.
Little gabagool in your hero. So because that's where I think actually he's going to live a little bit, which is to say that Tyler Johnson, like, just to kind of explain his archetype, is like two kind of combo guard that's like mostly just responsible for bringing the ball up, but is not going to lead an offense after that, which seems to be kind of Cam's zone. So like in terms of like that kind of comparison, that's sort of what I mean. Not in that like Tyler Johnson is a comparable player to Cam. And also in the like likelihood of the DNP slash like, you know, insertion into the, cause I do think like, I think he'll be around. I think he'll be on the bench. I don't see any world after this in which we're going to send him back down to the G League, at least not to start the season. You know, it's possible, but I would be, I think that the Nets are too sensitive to, the optics of that. And I also think that Cam, they might know that Cam would go like actually crazy down, like, you know, like he just seems like a person who you want to do that positive reinforcement with rather than like go earn it in the Nassau Coliseum. So maybe I'm wrong on that, but like from a management perspective, I just don't see that as a good fit. And then also, but he does have to sort of earn his stripes a little bit. So starting him off in that role, I do see it's possible that he could like by the end of the season be, you know, playing the Mike James minutes of like, you know, load bearing, spelly combo guard guy. I think that that's totally possible based on what I've seen in Summer League. Again, that's like a very rosy picture. But to start, I do see him kind of getting his spots DMP, but also playing like, you know, I don't think it'll be crazy to see him come in a second quarter. I don't think it'll be crazy in within like the second month of the season.
Yeah, I think a lot of it depends on what Kyrie, KD, and James Harden think of Cam Thomas.
True.
Like, yeah, I know Steve Nash is the coach, but like they really have, those three guys have a lot of say on who's on the floor, right? And like there were moments you felt like they were basically saying, hey, we want Jeff Green and not DeAndre Jordan on the floor. Like they, and who they have faith in these moments is going to matter a lot. Now, the regular season, what's amazing about having Cam Thomas is like he is the perfect like replacement level guard to slot in if there's load management, if there's absences from any of the players, because Kyrie tends to disappear during parts of the season.
Sure.
And Cam Thomas is a great like clone of any high volume scorer you want to slot in there. The thing I struggle with is like, okay, he is obviously super talented. He has more ability to score in a basketball game than Javon Carter or Bruce Brown. Like, as much as we love Bruce Brown, Cam Thomas already has more in his bag than Bruce does. If we were comparing bags,
that's not even close. Yeah.
Bruce Brown has, you know, he's got a peanut butter jelly sandwich and maybe like a juice box, right? And they're great, reliable, perfect. Cam Thomas has a Snickers bar in there. He's got, you know, he's got some peanuts with like a little sealable, not wasteful packaging. Dude,
he might have a box of Dunkaroos in that sucker.
He's got a box of Dunkaroos. Yeah. And what's for lunch? Lunchables. Yeah. Right. Lunchables, absolutely. Right. The cold pizza Lunchable, you know, that it was just crust.
Stop. My mouth is watering. The cold of cold marinara
sauce.
Cold marinara with a little cold mutz on there. Come on.
Did you ever dive into Lunchables pizzas? They were.
Of course.
Were you supposed to heat them up?
I was unfortunately never the kid that had them, but I was hungrily looking over. Well, I also just had. Don't make that face with me.
I feel sorry. I didn't want to bring up a harsh childhood memory. Jeez, Bri.
No, I made up for it in high school, which was, that's where I did all my Lunchables damage. Yeah. I've been chasing that dragon ever since, really. I was a salami sandwich. I was a salami guy. Just, you know, four pieces of salami on that white bread. That's all I need. That's all
Good
I need to
get
to. That's all about this beautiful figure.
So Cam Thomas has more in his lunch bag than Bruce Brown does. But it's still just hard for me to think about like, okay, the best version of the Nets, if everything's firing at all cylinders, you have the big three out there. Joe Harris is starting, and like Blake Griffin's probably the starting center for the team next year. The bench unit, and this is a fun discussion, we're going to have this like a million times, is like one of Kyrie or Harden is running the bench unit while the other two sit. You're going to have, I guess maybe, let's say Cam Thomas is out there. And if he's out there, then who else is on the floor? Nick Claxton, Bruce Brown, and James Johnson or Bembry, or I mean, something like that, right? You really want, with surrounding James Harden, you want shooters. That's all you want. You want shooters and a pick and roll big man. So it could be De'Ron Sharp at certain moments if Claxton's, whatever Claxton's doing, like if Claxton needs rest or whatever. Cam Thomas is like a fantastic shooter, but he doesn't shoot in the way that it plays off of a guard like Harden, right? Cam Thomas needs to play like Harden to get off his shot, at least as far as we've seen. That's why I'm excited to see, can he stand on a place in the three-point line waiting for James Harden to suck up the defense and Harden pass him the ball and Cam just shoot it and not try to do, you know, the Kobe moves or the Carmelo with the Knicks type moves. So that's why I'm like grappling, like, where is he going to be? I think the best version of him is sort of what you described, which is like he maybe doesn't have a consistent role, but they're like trying to grow his game along, see if he can fit. Because I, you know, let's be honest, the Nets can't mess around too much.
No.
Like, this can't be like, we can't just be an incubator for growth. Like, this team needs to win a championship.
That's right.
And you can't just mess around all regular season and be the fourth seed.
So this leads me, I mean, and this will segue neatly into the next part of this conversation, but one of the things that makes me feel safer about Cam Thomas than other projects is the free throw stuff. I think like drawing the free throws and making them at a high clip is, it's like it's one of the best ways for young players to be efficient scorers. But speaking of like project stuff, like this is why I'm still very concerned about the Nick Claxton, De'Ron Sharp front line that we've composed here. Like that is our entire, like our size, everything to do with size on this team, but for DeAndre Jordan, who I guess I still don't have an opinion on what's going to happen there, is a project still. Nick Claxton less so, obviously. But would you still consider Nick Claxton a project? I mean, that's maybe the way to frame this.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's still a project. Cause like, he's a nice, I'm trying to think of like a school project that like has a nice floor, but has like a great ceiling, like that volcano project.
The volcano, you're just going to go to the
volcano. Yeah. Cause like if you build a volcano, which is Nick Claxton, like it's a good, you're going to get a B,
Mike,
just by building
Mike,
that
if
volcano.
If you build a volcano in 2021, you are a meme. You might not live it down. I think if you come into school with a volcano in 20, that's like a Saved by the Bell class project.
Do you
project.
Think there's been an evolution of school projects?
I think there has.
What are they doing today?
These kids are TikTok.
Are they making TikToks for
science
class?
They're like making magnets and stuff. You know, how do they work?
They're making magnets?
How do they work?
You can't make magnets.
They're making magnets.
How do people make
if
magnets?
I go on YouTube, I'm going to go find
You buy a mag, like, I can't even conceive. I'm not a scientist.
We're full-blown
how
ICP
do you
right
make
now.
Make something magnetic. You buy a magnet.
You magnetize it. You can magnetize stuff.
Mike, you can?
How do magnets
this
work?
This is blowing my mind. I thought magnets like came out of like a magnet. Mine, like a
you just dig them up.
Yeah, there's just like
they're
a
just
big,
horseshoe shaped, and you dig them up.
Yeah, there's just like a big rock somewhere.
Do you know the Insane Clown Posse meme that I'm even referring to here? Do you even know this thing? You know that old from like 2009 or whatever? It's like magnets. No. How do they work? They had a good. No. Is it from a music video?
By the Insane Clown Posse.
By ICP. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're going to get laughed out
only,
of
the
school
you're
the for
only
caring
people.
About Insane Clown Posse.
You're the only person on the internet that doesn't know about this meme. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Do you think
this is on
do you,
you
think
Mike.
Kids in school today care about the Insane Clown Posse? Do you think they have any relation? I think they care more about volcanoes.
You were contorting this into some...
Did you...
Anyways.
Did you watch The Tomorrow War on Amazon Prime?
No.
Volcanoes matter in that movie. And kids were talking about it in that movie. So that's... my reality.
Nice.
Okay. So Nick Claxton's a volcano, a school project volcano.
That's,
he's still
in my world. That's a low grade. So, anyways,
low grade plutonium. That's what you're. That's what you're messing with.
Yeah.
Sorry. Where's Nick Claxton? He was showing this already, and like, this is what they're going to develop, is make him pick and roll big man with Harden, right? Like, he was developing a nice chemistry with Harden as the pick and roll big man. I think that's, they're just going to dive deeper and deeper into that on the offensive side. And the defense is just like, continue to be active and scary. Just continue to be active and like, be the blood sucking bat that you are defensively. Because bats are active and scary in my mind.
So I guess the whole question that I'm trying to build up to is like, where do the Nets stand on projects in general? Like, are we so project averse that we won't even like get Cam Thomas to the big show? Or are we pretty into projects by virtue of the fact that we're going to have Nick Claxton out there maybe playing 30 minutes a game or something crazy, who knows what, who's still very much in project territory? I don't know.
I think the Nets are into more than any contender are into projects, more than the Bucks, more than the Lakers. It's like Steve Nash's DNA is to fuck around with shit and to try different stuff.
Damn.
Like he did that all last year. Yeah. He did that all last year as a coach. Like we would remark many, many times about how drastically the lineup would change from week to week, not because of injury necessarily, but because of like, Nash spotted something, like he didn't have anything in Bruce Brown, and then he did have something, and then he drove deeper and deeper into that. Jeff Green as a five drove deeper and deeper, and like he would constantly sort of pick guys out and play them. Like he didn't, like Tyler Johnson was the first guy off the bench in one of the playoff games, either against the Bucks,
yeah, I think that's right.
Or the Who did the Nets even play in the first round?
Well, Boston action. We steamrolled them, totally flattened them so Boston hard we can't even series. Recognize them. Don't even remember them.
Yeah. Like, you know, obviously Mike James getting minutes and run, and then just being like, hey, Kevin, can you play the whole game?
Yeah.
Could you do that for us? So like, I think they're still gonna, it's like selective projects. Like, what do they want to mess with? I think they do want to grow Claxton, but they're going to be cautious with his health. Like, they're going to do that whole thing all year where they're just like, he's going to play 25 minutes one night, and then maybe play 12 another night because they don't. He seems like someone who is his body. He's young. And he's like still growing into his body almost.
Can I just do a quick shout out to a guy that you work with, Seth Partnow, who does that tier system thing every year? That thing's amazing. Yeah. That is one of the best, like most well-written documents that comes out every year. Big, strong. And it's not even, you know, just trying to be as objective as possible. As an outsider looking in, it's some quality work there.
Yeah, if you aren't subscribed to The Athletic, get in behind that paywall, theathletic.com/glueguys. You'll get a special deal when you get there. Seth used to be the head of analytics for the Bucks. We've had Seth on the show. I know Seth. I text him stuff. I ask him questions all the time.
Big flex.
Because he's a very nice guy. His tiers, he didn't rank them. People like, you know, but he tiered the top 125 players, and the Nets – KD was in the top tier, the very upper echelon with LeBron.
1A and Giannis.
And Giannis?
Giannis.
Yes. Yep. And then Harden was 1B, which is just a slight smidgen below. And it's really good because not only does he do that, he gives you context and why they're there and the statistics behind it. And there's a lot of stuff like he had a great thing on Durant about who he guarded in that Bucks series. Like, you know, we typically think of the best player on offense doesn't guard the best players on the other team. And Durant was guarding like PJ Tucker, but also he was guarding like Chris Middleton a lot of the game. And then he would guard whoever was center, like Brooke Lopez at times. Like he was playing center in that series more than like we traditionally think. It's a great read. Thank you for bringing it up.
It really puts everything into context. It's really good.
Speaking of bigs, and you wanted to talk about this, Dayron Sharpe. What? So give me your feelings now. We've had more gestation time with Mr. Sharpe
What's your feelings right now?
Well, just from what I've seen, I don't want to get too ahead of my, because like this, especially big men, I feel like are tough to sort of appraise at this particular level. So like, you know, I guess I'm like reticent to say whether like I think that's going to be good or bad. My only concern is that like as far as size goes into having just like that as in our quiver next year, you know, we've got DeAndre Jordan and Dayron. A little bit from what I've seen of Dayron suggests that he is not ready to be an interior defender at that level. I'll just say it like that. I'm a little concerned about his ability to like pick up a guard if he's being targeted in that way. So if we're going into next season and Dayron is our big meaty guy, you know, playing our Jason Collins role, that might be problematic for me, Mike. I'm just going to say it like that.
Yeah, and it should be. He was the 29th pick in the draft. He shouldn't be relied upon to be the big defensive presence on a championship team.
No, he should not. So I don't know what we're going to do, but we have to. I feel like that's. I mean, if there's any hole in our roster, it's. I mean, DeAndre Jordan should I don't know, maybe that role, but in lieu of that, we're hurting there.
Yeah, and like Sean Marks himself has said, rebounding is our biggest weakness, basically. Mm-hmm. There was some discussion like, hey, can Alize Johnson feel that? I mean, he's getting 10 rebounds a game in the summer league. I'm actually, I don't know. I'm a little more off. I love Alize. I'm a little more off on him. He looks smaller out there than I remember, which could just be the summer league camera angle.
Yeah,
but he's getting 10 rebounds a game. So his size isn't affected, but like, he's not a five. He's not a five, but like, I'm a little worried.
I think Alize like stands out at the NBA level because he's like a chaos agent. But at the summer league level, there's a lot of chaos agents. So he just kind of like gets thrown into that muddled pack of chaos. Whereas he's like a kind of an outlier in that at that level. So yeah, it might not be a great fit for him.
I know you didn't watch Loki, but I'm not going to ruin Loki for anyone who
here
hasn't
comes,
watched
spoiler
it.
Spoiler alerts, everyone. Watch
but,
out. Here comes Mike talking
I mean,
about a show you
shows
love.
Shows about how there are variants. Mm-hmm. Multiple variants and multiple realities, and there's a scene where there's a bunch of Lokis together all creating chaos, and in each reality one Loki stands out, but when they're all together they're all
right
just creating havoc with each other. That is Alize. Alize is right. Is amongst many versions of himself,
right.
Many variants. The big issue, so like here's the obvious solution. LaMarcus Aldridge wants to come back to the NBA, possibly. I mean, we've talked about it before, but like, do you kick the tires again on Mr. Aldridge for playing basketball? I forget how you feel.
My feeling is even if you take out the health condition of which, you know, who knows, whatever, that's not my place. So take that out. He has the body of the person that you want him to be, but he isn't that guy. That's the problem with LaMarcus Aldridge. He wants to be shooting elbow jumpers. We don't need elbow jumper shooter guy right now. That's the thing with him and Dayron is that they're just similar shaped. They don't do any of the same things. You know, we want a guy who's like Dayron, but is actually, you know,
is older,
mature, and has done this for a while.
We need time machine Dayron. We need Dayron 4 years from now.
Put him in the cryo chamber and mature him up. But you know what I'm saying? Like I like LaMarcus and I would want him on the team, but that's not the role we're talking about.
What's the thing in Dragon Ball Z where they go away? And
yeah, that's
like,
what I was trying to, the hyperbolic chamber or something.
It's like middle of nowhere land where like time
can't.
It's like a year and a day, and then they all get Super Saiyan and they come back and they're. He's level 3000 or whatever, you know, that place. Yeah, like the more and more I think about it, like LaMarcus Aldridge is a pretty obvious add if he wants to come back in the NBA and they need a big body. But the thing is, like, you would think they would have already have signed him if they were interested. Like, they would have had a workout. They would have seen the medical again. You know, if we're going to trace it back, it was the Nets medical that saw and spotted that LaMarcus Aldridge had the health issue, and you know, within consultation with him, we were like, "Hey, you probably shouldn't play basketball." So the same medical team would then have to be evaluating LaMarcus now, and I would imagine they wouldn't feel all that different. You know, like maybe they would. Maybe, obviously, I'm not privy to LaMarcus Aldridge's medical information.
Oh, well, you're not texting LaMarcus Aldridge like you are with Seth.
Respect HIPAA.
Respect the HIPAA.
HIPAA is a constitutional amendment, but I would think the same medical team probably wouldn't be like, hey, yeah, he's fine to play basketball. You know, I'd push for Boban, but I think Boban was always going to go back to Dallas from what I'm understanding. It's just like, then who's the buyout candidates? And I think that's a pod for us to do, like project the buyout candidates, basically look at which NBA teams are going to be really bad at basketball and then be like, okay, do they have a big goofy looking guy on their team? Yeah. Can we have him at some point this year? Because the Nets are going to have the same situation. They're going to be really good, and there's going to be teams where stars. I just thought of a name, Bri.
Okay.
And let me ask you if this guy qualifies. Okay. Kevin Love.
If I had an index card right here with a name written on it, I wish I had it. I wish he did it.
Does Kevin Love count as a big, ugly man that you'd want on the team? He's gorgeous, so he's not ugly. He's probably not even that big, and apparently he can't even play basketball because he was essentially banished from Team U.S. Did you see what Jerry Colangelo said about Kevin Love?
I didn't. Was it just a conditioning issue? Like, what was his deal?
Jerry Colangelo, who runs Team USA, who picks the players basically in consultation with, you know, Popovich or Krzyzewski or whoever's running the team, said publicly that, like, Kevin Love, we weren't thinking about Kevin Love. He called us and said, hey, I'm in great shape. I want to play for Team USA. And they were like, great. Wow. And then Jerry Colangelo said, and when he got here, he was not in shape and he was not ready to play basketball.
Wow.
And that is like,
that's bad. You don't want to hear that.
You're nuking any trade value or possibility. Like, remember the narrative going into the Olympics was like, oh my God, maybe Kevin Love is like, is he back and he's going to rehab his value in some way and some contender is going to want him. And it's gone. It's continued to go deeper and deeper away.
Yeah.
But if he was bought out, and would you want he the Embiid stopper?
Like, this is why.
Is he the Embiid stopper?
So, Brian? Blake Griffin was so obviously sandbagging the Pistons when he left. Like, he was like, it was so clear that was happening versus it is not that clear with Kevin Love that his rehab is like super duper imminent in the same way that it would be for Blake Griffin. And we just don't have time to play around with these kinds of projects, Mike. We need a real solution here. And we're an elite championship chasing team. We get it. This is 2018 Nets thinking right now. What we need to be doing is 2022 Nets thinking, which is like getting, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar off the wire, you know, back in the 70s. I'm just saying, like, you know what we do, like, championship teams, we just get whoever they want off the wire somehow, some way. You know, that's where I don't know what those names are. I don't know. I don't have an example of that. But that's why I pulled off a terrible example in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I want a real ready to go, not rehab project dude to fill that gap.
Yeah. So they have one on the team, DeAndre Jordan, which we've talked about before. It's like, hey, it seems like he's going to play this year, which is crazy. Just some light. So Kevin Love is the guy that could be bought out. He's not a center. He's super broken down. So I don't know, you know, the only reason why he would be here is that he's really good on Instagram and we seem to like Instagram people on our team. Derek Favors was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder in a salary dump. I think he still has 2 years left on his contract, but like it could be a buyout situation with him. He averaged 5.5 points and 5.5 rebounds last year for the Jazz.
I read a thing about them like really disliking him this year, the Jazz. I forget what exactly was happening, but something was not going well.
Well, he has declined pretty rapidly off of – so from 2 years ago when the Jazz were so excited to sign him to the mid-level exception dollar figure, he was averaging about 12 points per game and 7.5 rebounds, 1.5 blocks on 23 minutes. Like that, he started – he started next to Gobert. He was a big, beefy dude next to Rudy Gobert. Then he was traded to the Pelicans, and That was 2018, 2019. He's basically gone down and down and down in the past few years. He is on this Thunder team that is obviously, like, they have no value. They have no use for Derek Favors in reality. You know, if he's like a buyout guy, homecoming, bring him back to the Nets.
Does Paul Millsap have a job yet?
You are obsessed with Paul Millsap. Obsessed.
This is, I haven't brought him up in months.
He can't play center though. He's a little too, I mean, I know he's like a really stout dude and all that stuff, but like he's not like, not and so like the funny thing is we're so oriented around the Embiid stopper that we maybe should disorient ourselves because the Sixers are who knows what they're going to be next year. So to care that much about Embiid, but the Bucks won the championship. The Heat are going to be good with Bam Adebayo. Bam's actually probably a little bit easier for the Nets to grapple with than Embiid would have been. The Sixers will be good. And out West, it's going to be Anthony Davis. It's DeAndre Ayton. Like, they're, you know, obviously maybe the Nuggets are going to be healthier this year. I don't know if Jamal Murray is going to come back, but Jokic, MVP, he matters. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if the Embiid stopper is ever necessary.
What's up with Ben Simmons? What's going to happen with him, Mike? Get an opinion?
He's going to get bought out. He's going to go to the Nets.
There you go. Perfect.
No.
And he guard center.
No, he's not going to do either, any of those things. Brian, I think this is a good place.
Yeah, let's end it here.
Pod. Oh, I did promise going into break, I did promise that I would compare Cam Thomas to someone on another team who was in a role. Totally different players, but I could see Cam Thomas having, honestly, a Peyton Pritchard-like impact. Not as much as Pritchard because, like, the Celtics really needed Peyton Pritchard at some parts. But, like, he was, like, an 18-minute-a-game guy at various points this year and would kind of be relied on to run the show in certain moments. And I think Cam Thomas will do that.
Weird aside, but you know what's really interesting? Just to see how much glee everyone took in the Dennis Schroeder journey, that whole thing. People were really stoked on a dude who like lost a bunch of money. it was interesting to watch the reaction generally to that. They're like, yeah.
What do you think the root of that was?
Golly. I mean, there's a lot there, Mike. You know, I don't know if we want to open that can of worms, but, but I think that like, yeah, I think it falls in line with a lot of the, decades long conversation about overpaid prima donna NBA players, so on and so forth. And to see one, you know, miscalculate their worth is, there's a Schadenfreude in there that's interesting. Did you watch the Malice in the Palace documentary on Netflix?
So many people, though.
It's okay. It's all right. The one thing that was a good piece of evidence that I didn't realize is the guy who actually threw the cup was like a complete psychopath. That guy was like a true menace to society. And
really?
Yeah. He was like basically like the Joker. He was like a living embodiment of Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. So
yeah. That's not a great comparison.
It's who he is, man. You know,
it's movie history. Not where you want to be.
No.
On the Joker scale.
But it's okay. It's all right. I give it a B minus.
My whole thing, I'm sure it's really good. I watched that live. Like I remember it, and like it was bad. Like I remember the things happening. So I don't feel like I need.
Oh, you don't. You feel like you know. You feel like you already know everything. Yeah.
To me, it was like the fans were assholes.
Yeah.
And then so then the players went in the stands, terrible, bad. But I also, this is a personal thing. I don't feel like players should have to be held to a higher standard than any other human. So if humans are assholes to you, like the players should be like, I don't think players like, it's not good that a player went to the stands and that it became what it became. But I also don't think like, why should these guys just because they're athletes, like face all the hate speech and get shit thrown on them? Like, and then they just have to kind of like take it. Like,
it's a fair point. It's a fair point. Like, I mean, the documentary pretty much takes your side on that too, which is, you know, when
imagine. Like, I think Jermaine O'Neal was the executive producer of it. So.
Yeah, he went to court and I think did pretty well with that, with a very similar argument. So
good.
Yeah.
I'm here to represent
good.
Any players in court cases involving.
You got your bar. You passed the bar?
Passed the bar.
Nice.
Passed right under it. Sorry.
Good, Mike. Take us out of here, buddy.
Thank you all so much for listening. You can get behind the Athletic paywall at theathletic.com/glueguys. There is a special offer waiting for you. It is fantasy football season, and that's why you should get in. There's so much good fantasy content on The Athletic. If you want to be smarter and make money in your draft, you should become The Athletic subscriber. We are on Discord. Brian, where can people find the Discord?
So not only in the Twitter bio, but also there's going to be a description under this YouTube video because we're on YouTube as well. And there's also a Discord invite in there. You just click that thing and it'll pop it right in there. So that's how you get in.
Such a fun place to discuss the Nets with other like-minded Nets fans. YouTube, we're always on YouTube. As Brian said, this is a YouTube show as well. And find us at your local Target. We're just walking around.
I'll be there.
Buying stuff in the home goods area.
Just playing the Wii. Just playing on the Wii. The Wii tutorial for Wii Fitness. Bye, everybody.
Bye.